Business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. Thanks to Craig, it's exactly 10 minutes past 12. And thank you for joining us once again. I know I did promise you that we'd finish off all the questions that we didn't get to last week, and there's still a lot of them. We'll try to do them towards the end of the show, and we'll carry over to the following week. But one thing is synonymous with business, with political leadership, with running an organization, with any place where there's a structure and leadership, is that you have good leaders and bad leaders. And I'm often reminded of a book that I read called All Things Wild and Wonderful by a wonderful lady called Kobe Crenier. Her husband was a game ranger in Kruger National Park. They were at Crocodile Bridge, and then they moved somewhere else. I don't remember exactly, but her husband was in the bush for, you know, long time, long stretches at a time, and she was left by herself, and she ended up doing a thesis on baboon leadership, which is very fascinating. And she describes two tribes, one where they were very skittish, they were very malnourished, there was a lot of tension within the tribe, and the leader was just this weak, pathetic character and never sort of gave direction and never gave orders. The other tribe was well-organized, well-fed, well-nourished, large, had lots of little babies, but the leader was absolutely ruthless. When he barked, everybody obeyed. And the conclusion that she drew was not that ruthless leaders make good leaders, but decisive, strong leaders give the followers security and the place of belonging, and they know exactly where they stand. And today, I'm very, very honored to have Ray Lungo, who is the group CEO of Legas Delaney, with us to discuss the five characteristics of a good leader. And Ray, I see you said a good leader, not a good CEO.
Yes. Firstly, good afternoon. It is afternoon. Thanks so much for having me on your show. A good leader. And I think that we live in a world where a lot of us are striving for some good leaders, you know, specifically in our country and specifically across our continent. So it's really just about in your own capacity, whether you're leading a business, whether you're leading in your community, or whether you're just leading in your household. I think it's a very, very important thing to reflect on and to consider what does good look like and acknowledge what not so good looks like.
You're absolutely spot on and characterizing across our life. But I saw you making a note there. Go and buy that book, All Things Wild and Wonderful. There's volume 1 and 2, an amazing book that every South African should read after they've read.
I've written it down, sir. I've written it down.
Ray, people often misconstrue a good leader who is firm and sometimes a little bit aloof and distant to someone who is indifferent. And on the other hand, someone who's over-friendly and, you know, very engaged, everything. Someone who has no direction. Are those two basic characteristics that one comes across in the corporate world? And as somebody coming into an organization, how do you find your place in the pecking order when you're looking at leadership?
Let me answer the second one first. I think it's quite a tough one because a lot of leaders, and I can only speak from my personal experience and everything that I've been through, is a lot of leaders struggle with self-awareness. And it's something that I spoke about briefly. And the biggest thing for me is just having an understanding of what type of leader you want to be, because that is a direct reflection on the type of people that you will attract. So when we ask the question, when we speak about being a hostile leader or very aggressive leader, a lot of the times people forget that, number one, you work with human beings. And you have human beings around you, whether it's in the community or whatever I mentioned up early on. So the biggest challenge that I've always found, especially coming into an environment, is trying to find your place. Where do you fit in? And having an understanding of what is the leadership style that is going on in that environment. And I think that's why a lot of times, and specifically in interviews, a lot of people would ask, what is the leadership style? Yes, you may not get the truth in the interview because they are trying to bring you in as much as you're looking for that job. But at the same time, at least you get some sort of idea of the environment that you're about to step into. Where if you have a leader that says to you that they're very hands-on, you know that there's a chance of a little bit of micromanagement. But if you have a leader where that loves to have trust and gives the team a lot of leeway in terms of making their own decisions, whether it's mistakes or positive outcomes, then you know that you're potentially in an environment that if you don't step up and show yourself, you'll struggle. So I think that there's different types of leaders for different types of people. It's very, very hard for someone to say this is right and this is wrong. I think it works very differently for who you are as a person in terms of what type of environment do you thrive under. And in my organization, I've got various people that I have to lead differently. You know, I know that there are some people that prefer their hands to be held on a journey, but then there's some people that will say, Ray, please can you leave me alone and let me do my job? And I love that. And that's something that I'm not perfect. I'm still on a journey. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. But what I have done and what I do is that I love the feedback from my team. I always ask people, whether it's my wife, whether it's my friends in the community, I always ask them to let me know how they feel about how I show up. And it is hard. You are going to get your feelings hurt a few times, but what's really important, what's really elevated me as a human being is just that self-awareness in terms of how I show up in every different situation. And then going, when I have that opportunity to counter a situation like that again, I'm a little bit, I have the experience to fall back on in terms of how I handle that situation at hand.
No, Ray, that's so precise the way you've put it. I was at a conference a few years ago, and was at a Discovery conference, and Adrian Gore was talking. And I often find that when people like that speak at conferences, they tend to focus on what they've just been through, what they've just had the challenge at, without being specific. But one thing he said to us, and I hope it sticks with me for many, many years, is that overcoming a major hurdle or a challenge in the business sense is not the gateway to utopia. It's just the key to dealing with the next problem that comes along. And I remember thinking, like, it hit me so hard because I was going through so much at that time. And I was like, just couldn't wait to crest the hill. And then I'll see the sun and the sea and everything will be wonderful. And he was saying to me, no, you've got to be tough enough to know that at the top of the hill is going to be another hill. And it's the mindset and the way you approach it. But Ray, let's get into the script instead of me taking you totally off script. You've got five characteristics of a good leader. Obviously, they're at the top five for you. So let's go through them one by one. I found the first one in its position quite interesting, and that's being decisive under pressure. Because I suppose at the end of the day, that's when people are looking at you when the chips are down.
I always laugh at my team, and I always say to them, "You guys only ever come to me when there's a problem. You know, no one ever comes to me and tells me about all the nice things." So that for me has been the biggest learning. And I've been very fortunate enough that I've had some really good leaders on my journey. And the one thing that I've learned is about decision making, and accepting that you're not always going to get it right. But what you need to do is make sure that you've got enough information to make a calculated decision. And that's the most important thing that I've learned is if I the only time I don't make a decision is when I've got more questions. But as long as I've got enough information in front of me, then I'm very comfortable in terms of how we go about developing that. So it's really just about making sure that you don't have to wait for consensus. Sometimes you have to make the decision and move forward.
And don't you find that sometimes those waiting for the answer are begging not to have consensus? They just want, Ray, just say it as it is, and we'll toe the line.
Yes, 90% of the time, I think there's just not a lot of agreement. And really, what it is, because we've got a lot of powerful minds around you and a lot of
Yes.
powerful voices. And at the end of the day, somebody needs to make a call. And I happen to be that person in my environment.
And you also happen to be the person that is relentlessly accountable. But let's take a quick break because we are accountable to pay some accounts at the radio station and we need to bring in some advertising. So let's run to the shops quickly. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 High FM. Before we go to our CEO, Ray Lunger, just to reiterate that last advert that you read, that you heard on the radio about learning to read Hebrew. If it's something that you as an adult have not yet perfected and you rely on the prayers in English, you can't make your way through Hebrew text, really please take up that offer as a 50% discount. Because when you do visit Israel or come to live in Israel, the fact that you can read and write Hebrew is 80% of the challenge of the language done. If you come here and you can't read, you've got a major challenge on your hands. So those of us who couldn't really speak but could read or write made it a lot easier. Ray, sorry about that. Let's go back to South Africa. Accountability. Ultimately, the buck stops with leadership. And one of the things that we've seen, one of the frustrations, for example, with South African politics, is there's just no accountability. You find the person at the top and it's just a revolving door to the next thing. And even if you do take them and get them, and that just creates such a sense of lethargy within the population. I just don't care anymore. How does accountability create energy in an organization?
The best thing for me and the best learning I've ever had is around you are going to make mistakes, accept that. You are going to do great things, accept that too. But the most important thing is you need to own it all. And that's why in my piece I said that you always, as a leader, you always need to know and you always need to say that it's on you. You make the decisions. Whether somebody's made the decision on your behalf or you've made the decision yourself, you're responsible for everyone. So, and that's why it's very important that you surround yourself with like-minded people. And I always do my best to hire people that are significantly smarter than I am. And what's the best thing about that is that I trust the decisions that they are making because I know that they are calculated decisions. And yes, they're not always going to turn out in a positive manner, but that's okay. But one thing I always deliver specifically in my household and in my friendship community and in my businesses is that I own my responsibilities. And to your point around how unfortunately the South African government is not where we'd like it to be. What one thing I would love is just for people in their individual capacities that look after the various their various committees would just own it and say, I am responsible for this. Yes, there might have been neglect along the way and various other situations that we're all very aware of, but right now I'm in charge. Right now it's on me and I'm going to do everything I can to the best of my ability to deliver on to try solve the problems or to make the situation as best as we can. And for me, it's just a matter of put your hand up, you know, and it's not easy being a leader, but you have the opportunity to say no, thank you at the same point. So if you really put your hand up and say, okay, I'm willing to take on this challenge, then accept all the challenges that come with it. It's very difficult. It's very taxing. And that's why I always warn people, you know, be careful what you wish for because you really might get it, you know, and when you do get it, you know, you need to be ready for it and you need to make sure. That, and once again, I'll go back to what I said at the beginning of our conversation around having self-awareness. It's very important to be aware of your strengths, your challenges, and make sure that if you do have challenges, how do you supplement them with the right people around you? And I think that's also another challenge that we've got specifically in our country is that, yes, the leader might have a certain skill set and there might be a deficit in other areas, but I don't believe that they're surrounding themselves with the right people that are able to fill those gaps. So that the leader can focus on leading rather than being in the cracks or the inefficiencies are shown a bit more than they should be.
spending your time putting out fires, sort of thing, rather than leading. Ray, someone came through a question, and I actually had a very similar question. We know now that in the environment we're working in South Africa with the POPIA Act, and there's so much coming in where just sending an email from a corporate with a corporate address is now a concern. How does one go down the chain of command to a person who's been used to sending out communication, saying what they want, making the odd mistake here and there, to saying to them, you do realize that this mistake has a fine that you could never pay over the rest of your life. This mistake has a consequence that we could lose our practice, our license to practice right now, without putting the person into a panic where every time they put their fingers on the keyboard, they just turn into a puddle of water and can't go forward. How do they own that responsibility also without freezing?
It's about communication. And what I mean by that, a lot of the times people think communication is just a one-way traffic where I'm just constantly telling you things. But one, we all know whatever industry you're in, right? I'm sure there are various regulations. I mean, you're on this wonderful radio station, and there are certain things you can say and cannot say. But the best thing about the journey is that you have to take people along on the plan. So we've known about the POPIA Act coming in for quite some time. What we should have, well, if I was the lead in that situation, is I would sit down with my staff at that point in time and say, we don't have all the information, but this is this new law. This is the law that's coming in. This is what we understand. These are the things that we need to work on. And what you have to do from there is you have to train people. You have to go on a journey with them and train them and show them what the new environment is going to look like, and all the risks, all the things that we need to be aware of, and all the things that we need to flag. And what you need to do as well is you can't pretend that if you train somebody on something once that they're going to remember it. We all have so many things going on in the work environment, personal lives, and all that. So it needs to be a continuous program where you're continuously having conversations with people, continuously reminding them of the environment that we're in and the new laws that are in place, And I think what's very important is you don't need to scare them with the risks. I think you don't need to go there and say, you can't afford to pay this fine or anything like that. But what I think you need to do is just let them understand the bigger picture as to why this is in place. We are protecting people's data. We're making sure that your information is not out there, so that random people are not calling you all day, and all those elements. So once people start to understand that from their personal capacity, because we all know we don't like getting spam calls. So once they start understanding that, they'll take a little bit more care in terms of how they go about doing their job, And you need to understand people are going to make mistakes, but you have to take them on a journey. And sometimes, unfortunately, people make too many mistakes, and then you might need to relook at, are they the right person for that role in this new world that we live in? And that's something that is always a hard challenge to, it's always a hard place to get to. But as we evolve, and I think just outside of Poppy, I mean, we live in this world of AI and everything's moving so quickly. So how do we now all upskill each other in the work environment and make sure that we don't have to have those hard conversations with our staff going forward about, can you survive in this modern world today of AI and all the technology that's come with it? So it's about setting that roadmap collectively and allowing people, giving people the best opportunity to succeed in the new environment.
Ray, I've been doing the show for many, many, many years. I've asked many questions to many people I've interviewed. What you've just said now in the last 2 minutes is something that I'm going to put into a podcast and distribute to as many people as I possibly can, because you have distilled what communication is in a sense of leadership with authority, in a sense where you can build people, support people, allow their best to come forward without being traumatized by the potential negative, even though they know that it's there. And you said that people need to know their limits, or they need to know what their skills are. I don't know if there was an angel speaking through you now, but that was prophetic. It was absolutely brilliant and really put it into space. On that note, the next thing is clear, no nonsense communication. I read a book many, many years ago, in Salt Rock. I was on holiday and went into the bookshop. But Donald Trump, and I've kept it, it's become like my little second Bible, so to speak. It's called a
Yeah.
gold cover, and it's very flashy, but it's he's written stories about other business people's successes. And it was just a fascinating read. But the one thing he says in the intro is that he hates intercoms and dialing people's extensions. He loves sitting in his office and shouting, just having this energy. So now that we
Yeah.
all know the man, we could just imagine this boisterous, for lack of a better term, energy in the office. But often when I come back to South Africa and I sit with my team, all of a sudden there's just a different sense of communication. Because I'm sitting there and it's energetic and people are around the table and you're looking in each other's eyes. But what you've written here is that just say it as it is so people know what you're saying.
Yes. The people can't. I my wife used to say this to me all the time. She's like, "Ray, I can't read your mind." So I took that on board. Not only in my personal life, but in everything around that. And the most important thing for me is that trying to simplify something has been the hardest thing in my professional career, because what goes on in my head, and I always used to say this to people, I was naturally good at science in school, but I couldn't tell you why I was good at science. And I couldn't explain to somebody else how to go about doing what I could do in my brain. So, and that's carried across into business as well, is that I don't know how I do certain things. And I used to get extremely frustrated with people that couldn't just do it. And I was very young and ignorant when I had the whole "fine, if you can't do it, I'll just do it myself" attitude. And I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm the problem because I'm not communicating clearly enough. I'm trying to beat around the bush, or I'm trying to say it in the softest way, or however you want to phrase it. But one thing I'm not doing is that I'm not saying exactly what I mean. And I started there. And what happened then is that I hurt a few feelings because I wasn't clearly articulating it in the most polite way. And then I had to do a lot of work of, okay, Ray, you need to say what you mean, but you need to say it in an empathetic way. And once I started understanding that's where everything changed, because then I would communicate with people. I could clearly articulate what my expectation is from them. And then all of a sudden things started to happen. So I was like, okay, so this thing actually does work. And that's why I wrote there, I think in my final sentence is around simplicity is a skill, saying less, but meaning more. And that's what I've had to work on. And I'm still working on it today. And I think what I've done is I'm very open and honest with my team to say, this is what I'm working on. I am going to make mistakes. I am going to potentially hurt your feelings, but I'm taking you on a journey with me that I am working on developing these skills, and what that's done is that I think a lot of my staff have taken that on board and they're looking at themselves and they're also now understanding that if they may not have a certain skill set of something, they're letting everybody know and saying, guys, I know I'm not the best at writing, but I'm going on a journey and I'm trying to develop that skill set. So when they do submit something that's not that great, it's not met with hostility. It's met with guidance, because then the rest of the team are now saying, okay, Ray's working on his writing. Let me help him on this journey. Hey, Ray, this, you could have done this, you could have done that. And the energy in the team, and it's just a different place, because everyone is just, it's all about helping each other and getting more. And what we've seen is a direct result with how we service our clients. And that energy is just taking the business to a whole new level, which is remarkable.
Ray, do you remember the first time you said to somebody, whether it was a family member or your wife or someone, if you send me a WhatsApp that I have to scroll up when I read it, I'm only going to read what I can see without touching it. And
Yes.
that's also become a skill within leadership, to be able to communicate without aggression or hostility, short, sweet, too, but with enough that you can get to it. And that's where I think
Yes.
technology has also taken us, is that go and read this link, and there's the link, and it's now the recipient's responsibility to take it further. But it's all about being short and concise. Right, on
Yes.
to the next one before we take a quick break. strategic vision with tactical grit. Unpack, please.
I thought you were going to ask me to unpack this one. But really what it is, it's about you need to have a vision, right? As a human being, as a business in term. And what I mean by having a vision is it's another word for having goals. Whether they're your personal goals, whether they're your business goals. And but what you need to do and what I've learned is about you a lot of the times we confuse our goals with our dreams. And what we do is that we're in a situation where we have these goals, but they're so unattainable. And the reason why I say they're unattainable is because we can't have a tactical plan on how we're going to achieve those goals. And a lot of the times, what I kept saying to people is that you need to zoom in closer to home. So yes, you can have your end goal. What I always say, yes, you can strive for hitting the moon, but first, what you need to do is you need to get off the ground. So we need to take a step back and say, okay, great. How am I going to get off the ground? And let me figure that out. And what we're doing now in our environment is that we're distilling down that final goal to where we are right now. And then it's like climbing a ladder. We're climbing, taking it one step at a time. But what we're doing is that we're identifying is what is it going to take for me to get to step number one? And I need to focus on that. And then step number two, we're forgetting about all the elements that's going to take us to get to the moon. But what we're doing now is that we're focusing on the little things and we're having a lot of attention to detail on the little things. And what I've seen just in my personal capacity is that when you take care of the little things, before you know it, you hit the moon and you don't actually understand why you've hit the moon. But what you've done is that you've just taken a step back and start focusing step by step and just being a little bit patient. And that's what I mean about having that tactical grit of being patient and making sure that you take care of the little steps and then the big step will naturally take care of itself.
Ray, we've got just over 6 minutes left. We still have to run to the shops quickly and live reads, and we've got empathy that drives performance. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Ray, unfortunately, we've got you again to the ropes, but I'm sure you can do well under pressure. Empathy that drives performance. This is where I suppose the true leader comes to the fore.
This one's a very quick one for me, and that's why I'm not too worried about it. But the one line in my article that will always stand out is about emotional intelligence isn't about being liked. And that was a big learning for me. I used to crave being liked by a lot of people. But what I did realize, what emotional intelligence about, it's about getting results without breaking people along the way. And that for me was the most important thing is to our example earlier about a leader shouting and the energy that they need to portray. We don't need to do that. What we need to do is just make sure that we guide people on the journey and we give them the best possible opportunity to succeed.
Ray, it's been an honor and a privilege to speak to you. Thank you for giving us life skills, day-to-day skills that we can use in our everyday work. I will definitely be in touch with you. I would definitely like to work with you on different forum. I just feel that you've got so much to add in such a clear and concise way. And all the best to you, and South Africa should continue to be blessed with envisioned leaders like yourself that add value to their communities, to their families, their communities, and the broader country. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a lovely afternoon.
Great. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll speak to you next week.